White, W.C. White, Battle Creek, Michigan, May 1875. Dear children, Edson and Willie, I designed to have written you last week, but circumstances hindered me. Bertie Jones states that his mother has just received a letter from his father saying he is not very well, is threatened with ague. We hope that the brethren Jones will not get homesick. I will say for their benefit, there is nothing, scarcely, doing in Battle Creek in the line of building. The season is very backward, cold, and disagreeable. We have had scarcely a pleasant day since we came here. It has been clouds, winds, and rain. The people in the city, as we meet them, act as though they had been frozen up and were just thawing out. Poor souls, they are to be pitied. Sunday. Today has opened clear and bright. We are calculating upon at least one pleasant day. This day is like May. I am actually writing in my room in the office, sitting in the sun without a fire. Your father and I have been suffering for 2 weeks with severe colds. We feel the effects of the Michigan climate as we have not done heretofore. We have to labor, notwithstanding colds and miserable feelings, because of the letting down of the atmosphere. The air is not invigorating as it is at Oakland, California. Mr. Walling came here to Battle Creek on his way east about 3 weeks since. He took his boys through to his mother's. He returned from Vermont last Tuesday and has remained here since. He seems loath to leave, poor man. He looks hearty and well. Is sunburnt, but his complexion does not show dissipation. He seems not so coarse and rough as he has sometimes. We have had a long visit with him. He has a divorce from Lou. Now she is suing for the custody of the children and for $10,000 alimony. He started at once for the East and put his two eldest boys under his mother's and sister's care, so that if there is any danger of her succeeding, he would be gone before a notice or injunction could be served on him. He now has the purpose of making over his property to your father, and has taken from your father the power of attorney, that he can carry on his business the same. When he returns, if he finds that there is any probability of Lou's succeeding, or her suit being regarded with favor, he just makes over his property to James White of Battle Creek. He will keep out of the way of the lawyers or sheriffs until the business is fixed in due order. He means to make sales of all he has as soon as possible, and go to California or some other place. He says his children shall never go back to Lou as long as he has blood in his body. He is determined in this matter, as he ever is in anything he undertakes. These two little girls are pleasant, good girls, but Rosetta has decided May is the best. Both are doing well under the whooping cough. They have now had the measles and whooping cough. May is a perfect picture of health. Her skin is clear, her eyes bright, her cheeks red as a rose. I call both of these children uncommon, intelligent, and good, with anything like correct discipline. Walling attended meeting yesterday morning and heard your father speak. He paid excellent attention. In the afternoon, he went in search of his carpet bag that the circus men, he thinks, took from beneath the counter at the hotel. The landlord is responsible for the property. I just looked out of the window and see that Walling has returned. He is coming to the office. We have just received a letter from Mary Kelsey and one from Lucinda. We are more than glad to hear from you all. Please write often to us. Any news that you may write will be gratefully received. We find Burley Salisbury well. We do not really think that he will marry Addie Chamberlain. We think he has his mind on a very nice lady by the name of Hurlbert, with some property, a patient at the Health Institute, but this is only surmise. Take it as such. We had a large congregation yesterday. I spoke to the people in the afternoon. I also spoke to the students in the college building at the commencement of the Sabbath. We fear for the schools. Ellett Wagoner is teaching the lower grade. He is not disciplined with sobriety, and I know he is unfitted for his position. He is altogether too trifling and does not seem to know what it is to bear responsibility or burdens in spiritual things. The school of younger pupils should have a teacher with perfect self-control and some dignity, with firm, commanding ways and good principles, one who can adapt himself to the situation. The Health Institute seems to be prospering. Patients are coming in every day and almost every night. Our house on the corner will be sold to the Health Institute for the carriages to stop at and where patients can receive their examination. The premises around the Health Institute look slicked up very nicely. There are, I think, 50 patients now. Good paying patients, most of them. If our house is taken, this will open the way for the sale of many of our goods. Rosetta gets along splendidly with the children. They love her, and yet she does not pet and spoil them with indulgence. I say again, with right management, these children are the best I have yet seen. We may send them at once to California if Sister Jones should conclude to go. There are loud threats of capturing the children. We must get them out of the way as soon as possible so that they cannot easily be reached. I cannot find Addie's red merino dress, the old one. Ask Lucinda to tell me where it is and send me word at once. Oh, how much we need wisdom to move in the order of God at all times. Prayer is our strength. The prayer of faith will bring returns of grace and strength to resist the enemy, that he may flee from us. I hope, my dear boys, that you will both be of one mind, of one heart, of one judgment. Work in harmony, unitedly claim the promises of God, and do not let go your hold on him. The more earnestly you watch and pray, the more closely will you be assimilated into the image of Christ. Walk in the light, and do put to a practical use the light and knowledge you have. Work wherever you can, and work in humility and in faith, not expecting that this work will be appreciated, but nevertheless, work. Even if it be at a sacrifice, sowing beside all waters, expecting that God will be your paymaster by and by. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. 1 Peter 5, verse 7. May the Lord qualify you both to do the humble and apparently unimportant duties of life with marked faithfulness, having an eye single to the glory of God. You may have all the religion you live for. You may have an indwelling Savior, a peace of mind which passeth knowledge. The Lord is not pleased to have us go from day to day in uncertainty and in doubt. We may know that our ways please God if we will consent to walk in the light as Christ is in the light. Only believe. Only trust God implicitly. Do not stand still. Gain victories over selfishness and over unbelief and over hasty temper and every evil. Daily you may have a precious experience, a growing experience in heavenly things. Daily you may increase in knowledge, just as you use the light and knowledge you have. Be workers, my dear boys, not from selfish purposes, for the sole purpose of selfishly benefiting yourselves, but for the purpose of serving God with all your heart as his children. And your reward will be great in heaven. Mother.